Thanks, Tom, and thanks, everybody, for the opportunity to talk to you. And it was very interesting listening to the two previous speakers to realise that we've all got much the same sort of issues facing us as organisations. What I want to do is take you through the impact on a large organisation of those factors and what our approach is to seeking to deal with those. Just a couple of things about to put Australia Post in perspective. We're a very large organisation, but we're an organisation that's changing. And those changes are impacting on what are our needs for the future in terms of our workforce skills and capabilities. And that technology and diversification referred to in that overhead has a big impact on what our workforce development requirements are. Most people would regard Australia Post as being a business that delivered letters, and I'm happy to say we still do, but there's not as much growth as we used to have. But what we need to do to be successful as a business is to continue to diversify, and there are three major streams we're doing that through, all of which have their own implications for workforce development needs. Until someone comes up with an electronic way to send parcels through a computer, we've got a good core business in delivering parcels and in logistics. Letters is a diminishing business. We want to hang on to it as long as we can. Retail and agency services, the shop front, is something that I think most people would be familiar with seeing the change that has occurred with the organisation. But it's a highly competitive area. We also, as well as we're 100% owned by the Commonwealth Government. That's our shareholder. We pay a dividend to the Commonwealth Government and we're expected to be a profitable organisation. But at the same time, we have some community service obligations. We need to service the mail needs of all Australians with a standard rate for letters. So our work requirements keep adding year by year and our challenge is to continue to find the productivity improvements that meet those dual objectives of profitability and community service obligation. Quick snapshot. Over time, there's been significant structural change in Australia Post. Our workforce has gone down in that period since 1988. It's gone from 38,000 people to 34,000. But the big change, as you'll see, is the move to part-time employees and the significant reduction in full-time employees. Why? The impact of technology and productivity improvement has meant that jobs have changed. A lot of our sorting is now done through technology and more of that will happen. So we need to have people that are at the business working operationally in accordance with where the work requirements are, be it full-time or part-time. The bottom group just shows that some of the work that's done in an agency-type basis or through licensed post offices. I just want to take you now through a few aspects of what our workforce looks like, which will underline the challenges we're facing. We're a diverse workforce, 35,000 people. We cover delivery, we cover transport, retail, a lot of professional categories. We have a very diverse ethnic mix, as you can see from that overhead. We're a large, picking up Tom's point about Indigenous employment earlier, we're a very large employer of Indigenous Australians. We'd have over 600 Indigenous Australians with us. If we look at the macro type situation that was spoken about earlier, at the moment we've got the lowest unemployment rate in 34 years. There's an ageing population, changing demographics that are facing all of us, and I'm going to show you in a moment that is impacting on my organisation to a much greater extent than the normal Australian average. With skill shortages across skilled and semi-skilled areas, as was spoken about earlier, has a lot of implications, and there's an expectation for staff who we're recruiting now for an organisation to provide flexible and favourable working conditions, or self-actualisation, I think, as Richard referred to it as. The West Australian and Queensland minerals resources boom is a huge factor for us. The Minerals Council predict that the resources sector will need an additional 70,000 people from 2005 to 2015. We are having huge difficulties in recruiting people in both those states, in some occupations, as are almost all employers. We have a turnover rate of about 8% for the business. In WA, it's 30. And employers are competing against each other to try and recruit people. The normal first approach when you have that recruitment problem is to try and up salary. That's not the answer. You've got to make yourself an employer of choice that people will want to work for you, so you both attract and retain the staff you need. To give you an idea of what WA means for us, we've altered our whole approach to recruitment. We're tailoring jobs around people's individual needs as far as we can. We're tailoring whether or not a postie uses a motorbike, wants to walk, what hours are being worked, tailoring in with the aspirations of people who've got children and want to tailor hours around when children are in childcare, using the opportunity of people going back into the workforce. Often women will stay home for a period of time and then they become people who are looking for a career at age 35 onwards, and that's something you need to tap into. Building relationships with colleges, educational institutions, but it's a hard ask there. And when you get people who are leaving school, or not even leaving school, at year 11, being offered jobs at $80,000 or more, which are highly unskilled, it's a real issue, I think, for the Australian community. And going back to those slides that Richard took us through about the demand that will be there for skilled and semi-skilled people in the future, those people have left without qualifications, and can they get them back? So, Australia Post, a higher than industry average age. Average age in industry is 37. We're 45. 46% of our executives reach the average retiring age in Australia Post of 57 in the next 5 years. So we have some issues we need to grapple with. Looking at Australia Post in terms of its age compared to the outside community, I hope you can read that at the back. Australia Post is on the right, and that's going by age and gender, but you can see that we do have an ageing population, and we have a concentration in the 35 to 39 age group, and a low concentration of representation of the below 25 age compared to the Australian labour force. One of the reasons for that is that people, when they join Australia Post, tend to stay with us. Although that's not so true of the Gen X wives. Taking that about if we do nothing, if we just stay where we are, that's where we are at the moment. Australia Post, that's by age, that's the red. And workforce average, you can see the blue behind it. So we're older. Take another snapshot, 2016. We've got a pretty difficult situation. The workforce distribution is getting to the older and older age of the spectrum. Ally that with change superannuation requirements and the other incentives that might cause people to leave, there's an issue. The other area I want to take you into, just sort of setting the scene of the issues, is part-timers. I pointed out before that we've increased our part-time representation in the workforce. But the resignation for rates for part-timers are higher than full-timers for us. A lot of reasons for that. Some part-timers are only doing part-time work because they want full-time work. But we are a business that does rely on a significant part-time workforce to meet an operational requirement that covers a 24-hour cycle. Young people, as I said, there is a higher turnover of younger people for us than the older, long-standing staff. So the red is the is those people who are under 35, and at my age I regard anyone under 35 as young. And the other group is 35 plus. So you can see the resignation rates are much higher for those people with less service. After a couple of years with us, people tend to stay. Our staff attitude surveys indicate to us that people are proud to work for Australia Post. They want to work for Australia Post, so that's something we need to capitalise on the strategies that we're adopting. Lastly, in setting the scene is, I mentioned earlier that we have a community service obligation. It doesn't matter where people live. We've got to deliver to those areas, be it in the centre of Australia or be it somewhere else. As all of us would know, there's a move, almost a sea change mentality, to people moving to different areas. But when you look at that, you can see where the movements of population have been. The blue are the winners and the red are the losers. I thought that was because of the lifestyle and that I've actually had to rethink about that after hearing Greg talk, and I realise now that that's all due to the ASC running ads about thongs on beaches, so thanks for that, Greg. But for us, we've got to recruit to anywhere within that spectrum. Okay. There are all the issues. What are we doing about it? With three major approaches. The first is we better understand what our future labour requirements are. Not what labour we need today or tomorrow, but what about 1 year out, 5 years out, or even longer? And work through our workforce strategies to meet that labour requirement. And build the capability of not only the human resource area, but the management areas to look at those factors and respond to those issues. At the end of the day, we want to attract the right people with the right skills and the right capabilities and attitudes and have them stay with us. Simple philosophy, employer of choice, attract and retain. But probably everybody in this room has got exactly the same philosophy. And we've got a dwindling labour supply in terms of our future requirements. First thing we did over the last... in the interest of time, I'll take you right through this slide in one hit, I think. Was develop our skills on workforce planning and help the managers across the organisation understand that process. What are going to be our product requirements, say, 5 years out? What are going to be our workforce requirements? Part-time, full-time, different capabilities, different skills. And what's going to be the path along which you go to get there? And that has been a big body of work, and we need, as I said, to skill managers in being able to utilise that. Not wait until the wolf is at the door and you can't recruit people with the skills that you need. And I won't go through the aspects of that, but it's other than to say you need to take account of external factors as well as internal. And we've been using that methodology to look... We've had shortages, I think the ASC were mentioning, in terms of engineering-type categories. We've had shortages in terms of technical-type categories, and we're building apprenticeship-type programs, graduate-type programs to address that. We're also redesigning the way we do delivery. There's more people who are doing full-time delivery of mail as distinct from the traditional postie that did the sorting and delivery as one operation. The second area I'd like to talk about is understanding ageing workforce issues. We've done a lot of work in trying to understand what are the issues that might cause people to leave the organisation as they get older. Because we want to hang on to our workers, irrespective of age, as long as they're productive and capable and skilled. So we I can pick up some of these perhaps in questions later, again in the interest of time, but we looked at various parts of our business. We studied to what were the attitudes to people to lifelong learning. We found in our IT area, for example, that a group of people there felt that, okay, I've got a qualification, that's it. But it's a matter of getting an attitude of continuing to learn and add to your skills. We did a life after post-retirement survey. We did a survey of people who'd left the organisation in the last 5 years. We got a very good response to that. I must say we did offer a prize, one prize of a plasma TV. Seeing it was for people who'd retired, we needed to make it a big screen, which we did. But there were some very interesting issues that came out of that, and one of them was that people had felt some pressure to retire early, just the cultural sort of aspect. Oh, you get to this age, and our retirement, our superannuation arrangements let you retire at 55, and there was often a culture, 55, well, I go, or 60, I go. And a significant number of the people who had retired said when they'd retired, they'd found it wasn't what they thought it would be. It wasn't what they thought it would be in terms of job enrichment and finances. I'll speak in a moment about some of the work we're doing on that. Very quickly, the other thing is just change management skills allied to workforce management. I mentioned before that the first approach is to up pay when you're in a highly competitive labour shortage situation. But that's not going to work because we just try and outbid each other. You've got to have a situation where people want to work for you, not just simply for money. So we're developing an employment value proposition, which is about saying, what are the aspects, what are the attributes that we want from the people we recruit? So that helps you in terms of what sort of people you recruit. But conversely, what can people expect of us? What's the deal? What's Australia Post going to deliver to those people in coming to work for us? And that becomes the employment value proposition. We're going through a very significant project in defining what that ought to be, and we've got a cross-section of people right across the business at all levels to say, what are the things that you would think are important in working for this organisation? And things that are coming through at the moment are that we see the organisation as customer and community focused, there are people who have those values, who career and opportunities development, that I can go to an organisation where I've got some opportunities to advance or self-actualise, to use the word Richard used. Working flexibility, work-life balance, that's a big issue for all of us. Are we going to be prepared to let the highly skilled person we desperately need work part-time or work from home? Relationships was an interesting issue that came out. A lot of people work for an organisation because they like the people they work with. How can you marshal that and make that an aspect of advantage for you? I mentioned about the turnover of people, including executives, and we've had a program of... Well, we had a large number of people in succession planning, and we identified people who... about 300 people in the organisation, and we assess them against generic leadership capabilities and then have developed them against that. But where we need to go is an integrated talent framework where all our employees are talent of one type or another, and that framework is integrated so that we actually define what are enterprise critical roles. The roles that will have a significant business impact and that we can't afford to not have filled with capable people. So developing success profiles for those jobs is about saying, well, what sort of attributes are required for that job? What sort of knowledge would you need to have? What sort of experience, competencies? but also what are the personal attributes that are needed for that? So let's define those in a real sense. The other side of that is identifying people who can meet those success profiles. And one of the big requirements is to have learning agility. That's an indicator of potential, and by that we are talking about people who are able to adapt to different sort of roles and grow. So they're critical thinkers who can examine problems, make fresh connections, know themselves well, know what their capabilities are, can handle tough situations, like discomfort, like to experiment. And as a result, they're better equipped to deal with those first-time situations through their own drive and ability, and that flows on to how they can build and inspire a team that works for them. Now, we're early days into that change in direction, but it is an important one. The third area, in terms of age management, and we've got to be careful when we say age management, we're not just talking older workers, we're talking older and younger workers and those in the middle. I don't think you can simply say, okay, here's one project, which, and that's our youth and age program. You've got to have an integrated suite of issues. And what we've tried to set up there, tried to identify there, is the sort of elements that might fit into that block. Work life and job design to provide flexibility, so job share, part-time work. Learning and development can't stop because of age. It's got to be a continual process. So you have career management, whether it's old or young. Knowledge transfer and mentoring, which I think Greg was mentioning, that's critically important, that you keep passing on those skills and capabilities. In terms of those concerns that I put up in relation to people who'd retired and found it wasn't quite what they thought it was, we've got transition to retirement type workshops, not to encourage people to retire, quite the opposite, but to make sure they properly consider all of the aspects that are involved in retirement decisions. And hopefully they'll stay with us longer. Very importantly is, again, this has been touched on, is your leadership capabilities and skills. Mentoring, developing the line manager capabilities to have interpersonal discussions with people as part of their leadership development is important. And we've got a program called Line Manager as Coach, which is designed to do that, which will roll across every leader in the organisation. Because that interaction between baby boomers and us Gen Ys, Gen X and Ys and baby boomers, can be a difficult thing for some managers to manage. So we've got to help through that process. And it can be difficult for a Gen X or Y to continue to be willing to put up with if you haven't got that working. Finally, on age, health and wellbeing, continually health and wellbeing is important. We've got a range of programs and we need to continue to reinforce that. So you've got to look at all of the things that might impact on your staff as employees. And that includes things outside the workplace. So we sponsor programs such as Men's Line, Staying Connected, which is for separated people, elder care, helping people cope with elderly parents and those issues. So that's as much an issue as it is with childcare. Very importantly, and it was very pleasing, a group of younger managers got together in an informal way and formed a network group which they called Spectrum. And they just get together in an informal way and talk about some of the aspects about career development, and that group's growing. And they talk about some of the community issues. And they've actually come up with a project which is around how POST could become a place that enables even a greater level of innovation and creativity from the perspective they see as young people. And maybe it's this self-actualisation, it's this attitude, I think, that Gen X-wise have of not being motivated by some of the drivers for baby boomers, such as a job for life and loyalty to an employer and going up in remuneration over a period of time, but motivation by what they can learn in the workplace and what the workplace gives to them. So, an interesting thing to see, and I'll watch it with interest. Just finally, just to sum up, the message I've been wanting to try and give is that there are significant challenges to all of us in attracting and retaining staff. As the economy grows, and that's a great thing, it is putting pressure on labour. And allied with the changing demographic profile, there are some real challenges for us as employers. In a large organisation such as Australia Post, we are really feeling those. So the approach we've taken of having workforce strategies to deal with not only current but future business needs is all about that. And I just emphasise again the importance of workforce planning, which is the looking ahead and being innovative in ways that we can deal with those issues, are going to be critically important. And as our business continues to diversify, and it needs to diversify to continue to be successful and grow, and as the labour market moves in the sort of directions that Richard took us through, they're big challenges and we need to try and meet them. And we certainly haven't got all the answers, but what I was wanting to take you through is a spectrum of things we're doing to try and meet that. And at the end of the day, as I said, what we want to be and what all of us would want to be is an employer of choice, and that means recognising the changing needs of employees that we have and also of potential employees.